with you.
Good
morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the fifth Sunday after Epiphany, and we are happy that you are here with us in the house of our Lord this morning. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the holy name of Jesus, amen. So many of you have been or are sick. So many people have the flu right now. 49 out of the 50 states are reporting almost epidemics of flu outbreaks. They said yesterday in an article that we have hit a record of 10 years for the worst flu outbreak in this country. And it doesn't go away. People coughing everywhere, people having fevers, and then they go away, and then it comes back. And it seems like the doctor's offices are all over the place, full with so many people. It would be nice if we had a situation like we had in our gospel reading today, where Jesus would just show up at the door of the church and we could all line up with our own little urgent care out there. And if you have a fever, you have the flu, you have a rash, whatever it may be, diabetes, cancer, heart problems, he would just take care of it and you could carry on with your life. But unfortunately, all you have is somebody like me, a place like this. Doesn't seem like Jesus is really anywhere. We don't see him. We can't touch him. And it seems in many ways like God doesn't really care about those who are sick. Maybe God at times doesn't care about you. And that leads us to a question today. Why do we come to this place? What is it that we are looking for from God? Is God one who is just going to take care of the health and wealth and prosperity for you? Is God one who, as many famous preachers today will talk about, giving you your best life now? Or is it something different? To be sure, I'm totally all in with healing. I've had a nasty cold. My family has been all sick. We're over it now. Many of you have too. You have your other problems, bigger problems. So it's not to take anything away from the healing aspect of things, but it's really a matter of focus for all of us. And it seems like the more at times that we find that God isn't taking care of the health and maybe the wealth or the fears that we have, we find ourselves asking the questions of Jacob and Israel in our Old Testament reading. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. In other words, what does that mean? God really doesn't seem present. God doesn't care about me and my situation. Facing a fearful situation, facing something like illness or something even worse, financial issues, whatever, we might cry out, my way seems to be hidden from God. He does not care. He's disregarded me and my life. That is why the prophet Isaiah says to us today, have you not known? Have you not heard? You see the emphasis and the focus of Jesus in our gospel reading today as well. He just comes out of the synagogue, and prior to this verse today, it says his fame is spreading everywhere throughout the region. Jesus is a famous guy at this time in our gospel reading today. He's taking care of all of the earthly needs for people. He cast out an unclean spirit, as we heard about last week. And then at nighttime here, you see in this reading, the whole city comes out to Peter's house. By the way, if you want to get a glimpse, a real snapshot glimpse of what this reading looks like, go into our office, into where the secretary's office is. And there are three pictures of Capernaum with Peter's house. And you can see the synagogue, and you can see where Jesus was staying at Peter's house. And it's a wonderful bird's eye picture of what this area was what it looked like. But here in the evening, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, and she gets up and begins to serve them. Life carries on. And then when the sun goes down, all of the ill, all of the weak, all of those with unclean spirit who are possessed by demons come out in droves to the door of Peter's house to see the door, Jesus, who says, "I am the door." But why at nighttime? You probably have all seen this in your own life. If you've ever had a child that's sick, when do their illnesses and when do their problems happen most? In the evening, when the sun goes down. How many of you have sat up with your little one at 2 a.m. with a fever? How many of you have rushed them into the ER with something else in the middle of the night? It seems like, in many ways, these things become more complicated when the sun goes down. Our worries and our fears become more complicated when the sun goes down. And the ancients had it right. They would call it the witching hour, the time where the devil, who is full of darkness, full of chaos, prowls around you like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you in all of the fears. It happens at night. It's happened in my family, it's happened in yours. And here you see Jesus at the beginning of the nighttime, healing the whole city. The people who have sat in darkness have seen a great light. And Jesus doesn't tell them to go away. He takes care of them. He realizes that in this world of darkness, in the midst of our sins, in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of all of our things that we've done against God and one another, we are in need of healing. Not just physical healing, but spiritual healing even more so. And so he has compassion on these people. He heals them. And you'll notice something else that he does. He looks at the demons and he tells them once again to be quiet. Because the demons know exactly who he is. God's own created people might not know who he is. We might at times be in our midst of our doubts and our fears of things, but the demons know exactly who he is. You are the Holy One. You are the Son of God, they say. They know exactly who he is. And this is a great text. It's a wonderful text. It's a picture-perfect text. But then Jesus throws a big wrench into the whole system. You'll notice what happens. Rising very early morning, in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed. He left. He went out to a desolate place, and he prayed. Jesus has these droves of people coming to see him. He's very famous for what he's doing, and he says, "I'm gone. I'm out of here." This doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to us at all, because what pastor, I know I'm one included, what pastor would not love to have droves of people coming to hear and to receive all the blessings of God? What pastor would ignore these people if they were lined up outside to hear and receive all of God's gifts? But Jesus, he does things differently. Peter finds him and he says, "Where are you? Everyone is looking for you." And what does Jesus say? "Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I'll go back." No, he says, "We're going to the next town. We're moving on." That's because these people's priorities were not in the right place. They were not focused on why he came. They were looking for the health, the wealth, the prosperity. They received a little glimpse of that, but that is not why he came. Have you not known? Have you not heard why it is that he has come? He has come to seek out and to save that which is lost. He has come to give up his life as a ransom for the entire world, to go to that hour that truly matters, the hour of his cross, and to take away sins. Not to provide simple health, wealth, and prosperity, but to provide eternal life to all who would receive him, to all who would listen to him, to all who know him by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is why he leaves Capernaum. That's why he goes elsewhere. And notice what he does. He doesn't set up the healing center in these other towns. He goes to the synagogue, he goes to the house of God, and he preaches and casts out demons there. He has his work to do, to be the light shining out in the darkness, to be the one who comes to seek and to save the lost, not with great and miraculous signs and wonders, but with his very life given up for them and for you. Have you not known? Have you not heard? This is why we are here today. We're not here because of programs or anything else that we have planned in our future. We're not here to try to promise you something that we cannot fulfill. We are here to preach the Word of God in season and out of season to all people, that all might hear and receive the light of Christ in the midst of a world of darkness and brokenness, in the midst of sickness, and yes, even in the midst of death. That is why this place was established almost 70 years ago. That's why the work of this congregation will continue to do that very thing. It's not popular. It's not popular, and many people will stay away because of the light of Christ at this place. But it is why we exist, so that the word may be sent out to others and to others and to even more who would hear it and gladly receive it. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Yes, we have. Christ has come. He has come to make everything that was wrong now right with God. He has come to bring about life and health and wealth, not here on earth, but to give you that life and that treasure that does not perish or fade away with him in heaven. Sickness will come, sickness will go. Health will come, health will go. But in the end, we are all facing the grave, just like the young and old who have perished with this flu, unfortunately, and those who have died because of other things. But the people sitting in darkness have seen a great light. And I'm not saying that because we have new lighting today. You have the light of the world shining in your darkness. You have Jesus, who is the great physician, coming to you this day with himself. When you come to this altar this morning, you come to receive Jesus, and by his word, this bread and this wine brings to you himself, his body and his blood. And you will hear, as you've heard every Sunday thereafter, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul until life everlasting. He comes with healing, both in physical and spiritual need. He comes today to become one with you, with all of his love, with all of his mercy, with all of his hope in a world that seems so hopeless. He comes to give you the true health that you and I need in the forgiveness of sins and the life everlasting that he promises to you. Thanks be to God he went to other towns and other places. Thanks be to God that it has made it to this place, and that we can sit here at a place like this and receive all of the blessings and benefits of his church, his word, his forgiveness, his life. It is for you today and always. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.